Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Do my best SpongeBob impression. I am ready. All right, praise the Lord. Be good. Good to be with all of you this morning. My wife had mentioned we went up there Friday night, and Harrison preached here. As a young man, I preached here that morning for our youth service that day. He preached a sermon about the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to tell you what, I had never, ever heard anybody preach a sermon like he did on the 23rd Psalm and how he broke it down. And it was amazing. It really was. And it just touched my heart. It really did. He talked about where it says how he maketh us to lie down in green pasture. He showed a picture of a sheep, just a regular sheep, laying down in a green pasture. But that's not the way it is over there. They show you that sheep. That's not the way it is. And then he went into explaining, and he showed the other picture of how they do sheep over there. And then he went into explaining it. Man, it made so much sense how that the Lord is our shepherd. Praise his name. But, you know, those teens up there, those kids up there, most of them in their early 20s and teens. But like she was saying, a lot of them went to that, a lot of them to praise and worship. They're not afraid to praise and worship. Folks, we don't need to be afraid to praise and worship the Lord. We don't need to be afraid to praise and worship him and lift our hands and praise him for what all that he's worth. Don't ever let the devil take your praise from you. Don't ever let him do that. I don't know how old or how young you are. Don't ever let him do that. Because he does that, he's got you. He's going to whip you then. Praise his name. But anyway, I'm going to be over in Luke this morning, the 24th chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses, 31 and 32. When you get there, if you can, let's stand in honor of God's Word and read His Word together this morning, please. Luke 24, 31 and 32. And the Word of God says this, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us, while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures." Isn't that amazing? This is our Lord doing this. He opened up the Scripture to them, and it opened up their eyes and opened up their hearts. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I want to praise You for all that You do for us. I pray, Lord, that You would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray that, Father, that, Lord, that You just touch our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd open my lips. Put the anointing upon me this morning. Open the hearts. The Lord, that the Word would sink the way that You would want it. And Father, we will give You the praise and the honor for it all, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. As Linda had already mentioned there just a minute ago, this week is an event called America Reads the Bible up in Washington, D.C. Started this morning at 9 o'clock and runs to 9 o'clock every 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock every night, down through the week. Different individuals will read the Bible. This is in coordination with America's 250th birthday. This is 250th year of the Bible being in America is what it said. And it coincides with that on July the 4th. Like I said, there'll be over 500 people that'll be doing this, and they'll be reading it. And they're going to start in Genesis, and they'll read through Revelations. I've already listened to, we'd listened to some of it even out here in the parking lot earlier today. But you can get it, you can go out there on an app and find it. And you know what? I say amen to that. I say amen to that. But you know what? We not only need to read the Bible, praise His name, we need to understand the Word of God. How many of you know the devil knows the Bible better than anybody? Oh, he knows the Bible real well. As this nation and other nations face spiritual battles in this world, as we face it, there's only one truth that can fight against that and can help us fight that battle. Hope you know, and make no mistake about it, it is a spiritual battle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Don't let anybody tell you that. It's not against flesh and blood, because it's not. It's against the evil influences that are out here in this world, and those evil influences, they affect people, but I'm telling you, that's who our battle's against. And the only way that we can fight that battle is with truth, and that's the truth of God's Word. John 17:17 says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth." That's what the Bible says. We all know Jesus used the word of God to fight the devil. Now, if you're going to fight these spiritual battles, you better know the Word of God, you better read it, and you better understand it on how to fight the battles that we're going to be up against. In Matthew chapter 4, every time Satan come against him with a temptation, what did he use? What did he use to fight it? He used the Word of God. He used it. And that is for us as well today. We can fight these battles, but we better know the Word and we can use the Word to do it. Satan knows the Bible. He'll quote Scripture, providing just enough truth to make it sound plausible. That's what he'll do. He'll just give you enough. But he distorts the intended meaning to serve his own agenda. And unfortunately, can I tell you this morning, there are many that are standing behind pulpits today. There are many that stand before churches and teach today that do the same thing. They'll give you just enough truth. They'll give you just enough of this to make it sound like it's plausible, to make it sound like it's good. But brothers and sisters, we need to know the whole Word from back to beginning to understand it. The most important reality in this world is truth. And men have been seeking truth from the beginning of time. Do you remember the interaction? We just went through Easter, but do you remember the interaction between Jesus and Pilate in John chapter 18? You remember that? Pilate therefore said unto him, "Thou art a king." Then Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" Now I'm here to tell you this morning, Word of God is truth, and the Word of God can be preached to you and taught to each and every one of us here this morning. But unless the Spirit shows you the meaning of it, unless you get into the Word, unless you are into the Word and try to understand it and learn it, you're not going to understand what He's trying to talk to you about. And what is the Scripture? The Bible. It's the inspired Word of God. That's what the truth, that's what the Word is. And only those who understand the Bible can know the truth of salvation. Can I have an amen? You've got to understand that Jesus died on the cross for you. You've got to understand that the Holy Spirit can convict you. You've got to understand that once you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. These are all spiritual truths to know about salvation. And only those who know the Bible, and I'm going to give you this little bit of truth right here, can live fulfilled, obedient, blessed, effective and joyful lives. I'm telling you something. From the day that I got saved, it's not always been perfect, but praise God, I have lived a joyful existence in this world. Amen? Amen. No, has everything been perfect? Absolutely not. Has everything went the way that I thought it should go? Absolutely not. But I can still stand up here this morning and tell you that I have lived a joyful life in Christ. Amen? That's what I can promise you and tell you. All matters of salvation, all matters of sanctification, and our eternal destination can be found right here in the pages of this book right here. You know, they talk about sanctification. They talk about where your destiny is going to be. The Bible explains it right to a T if you want to dig into it and listen and learn from what the Bible wants to tell us. Therefore, the greatest thing that you and I could ever do is the best of our ability is to explain to someone the Word of God. You believe in that? Testify to them and to explain to them the Word of the living God. And you know what? We need to understand that to be able to have that ability to do it. When you understand God's Word, then it means to understand in God's everything in God's perspective. You know, I believe that every bit of this Word right here was inspired Word of God. I believe it comes from God's heart, was given to men of old. And brother said, this, if you want to know what God thinks, right here is what God thinks. This is the inspired Word of God right here. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Every bit of it can be found right in here. The Bible is the only true view, the only one we have into God's heart. And God's heart and what His purpose is for all of humanity. It was found right here in the Word of God. It can only be known to those who understand it. that can only be known to those. And two examples of this, part of the scripture that I read to you this morning can be part of my scripture text, but the two of the examples of this can be found over in Luke 24. Jesus is confronting two of his followers here. If you read this right here, he's confronting two of them who were ignorant of what was going on, who were filled with doubt, and who were confused. And he gives them a true understanding and clarity concerning himself. How does he do it? By opening the scriptures and showing them, like he says, in fact, in Luke 27, 24, Jesus summed it up and said, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." How many of you know this morning, we could talk about Jesus, but you know what? The Word of God gives us how that we talk about Him and how that we should talk about Him and how that He, the things that we should let the other people know. Listen, this is the greatest thing anyone could ever do for you or for me, is to ever, and for anyone else, is to expound upon the Word of God and to let them know that Jesus loves them and God loves them. Now, the things to me this morning, the scripture, their responses to what Jesus did. The scripture I read to you. "And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture?" You know, it was obvious. If you read that whole chapter down, I'm going to get to some of it, more of it here in a little bit. If you read it all, they couldn't comprehend the message. They couldn't comprehend it. Listen, they were with the 11 whenever the 11 were at, whenever the women came from the tomb. This has happened, by the way, on Easter morning, the first Easter morning. This is what has happened. When they come to the tomb, they come to the tomb and went to the 11 and told them that Jesus had risen. These two were with them. It tells us on down in the scripture that they were with them. And they said, well, it sounded like these women were mad. They didn't know what they were talking. What do you mean he rose from the grave? And behold, I'm going to read it down to you. Let's start in verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one of another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But listen to what they said. But we trusted that he had been he which would have been redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things have done. And it goes on to say, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were here early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they also seen a vision of angels, and which said that he was alive, and certain of them were which with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Can I tell you something this morning? When it says back there, and how the chief priest put him to death, but we trusted that he would have been redeemed of Israel. You know what their thought was? And I think we've heard this here before. Their thought was that Jesus was going to come in, get a mighty army, drive the Romans out, and he was going to take over. But that's not the way that Jesus meant it to be. And they didn't understand. You see what? They had a partial understanding of the scriptures. Now, I'm going to tell you something here this morning. It's dangerous for you and me to have a partial understanding of Scripture. I tell you quite a bit here. You study the Word for yourself. You understand it. Tim, Dave Long can deceive you if I wanted to deceive you. I could do that. Any preacher can deceive you if they want to deceive you by giving you partial truths, by giving you just some of the Scriptures. I am one of those preachers that believe if it's going to be one thing, if it's going to be taught, it should stand true all the way through the Scriptures. It should stand true. Every bit of it should stand true. And I'm here this morning to tell you, some things that are taught, some things that are brought out there, don't stand true all the way through the Scriptures. But people make it sound like it's true. I'm here this morning to tell you, partial understanding of the Scripture can be very dangerous. And can I say this? Listen, these two, like so many in that time, did know that what all the prophets said. Jesus said, expounded to them all the prophets, all the Scripture. And Jesus confronted them, and Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And the operative word is all that they have spoken. I think we would all agree that having part of the truth is always dangerous. Always part of the truth is dangerous. The Bible tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now these two were heading back to a little village called Emmaus. Remember, it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were heading back home. The Scriptures, and it was on the same day that Jesus, on the same day that Jesus died, on the same day Jesus rose from the grave. I'm sorry. And they were heading back home. They had their heads down, their hopes and their dreams were all smashed. Passover ended the day before. And they had nothing to stay around Jerusalem for. In their minds, Jesus had let them down. Can I tell you something here this morning? Don't ever think that Jesus has let you down. Don't ever think that God has let you down. I don't know what you're going through here this morning. I don't know where your hopes and dreams are at here this morning. But I'm here to tell you, if you think God has let you down, that's not the case. He's just making another way. He's just getting ready to open another door for you. All you have to do is understand that you've got to hold on to His belief that Jesus knows what's best, that God knows what's best for you. In their minds, they'd been let down until their eyes were opened, and He opened to them the Scriptures. Understanding the Word completely is the key to this. Understanding God's Word completely is the key. Did not our hearts burn within us? I'm going to tell you something. The night I got saved, my heart burned within me. I want you to understand that. The Spirit of God come into me so strong and so powerful that night up at that church in Mannington, West Virginia, when I knelt down at that out in that breezeway that night. I'm telling you, there was no doubt in my mind that I was saved. Amen. No doubt whatsoever. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's still no doubt in my mind that I am saved this morning. Because the Spirit of God still dwells within me, still goes through me, still comes through me. I'm telling you, I say this quite a bit, but I want this to hit home every day. You think about this. Without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. It's not me saying that. That's the Word of God. If the Spirit of God is not pumping in your veins, if the Spirit of God is not flowing in you, coming through you, my Bible tells me you're none of His. Do you feel it all the time? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is you will feel it. You will feel it. Have you ever been times you sat in church and the Spirit of God had bared witness with somebody, something else somebody was saying, or what somebody was preaching or somebody was teaching? It's because the Word of God, the Spirit will bear witness with the Word of God. Do not our hearts burn within them? The Bible is the only book in history that was written, listen to me, that contains the message of redemption for a sinful man. The only one. It's still one of the best-selling books in the world. But you know what it is also? It's one of the least read. Did you know that? Romans 1:16 tells us this. The power of salvation to all that believe. The Word of God is the power of salvation to everyone that believes. And transforms the human mind to become more Christ-like. Do you realize that whenever we become Christians, a Christian means to be Christ-like. Christ-like. Now, Christ was perfect. Now, we're not perfect, but you know what? We are to strive to be like Him. We are to get into His Word and to strive to be like Christ. Only through the power, only through divinely revealed to us from God, through His Word, can we find forgiveness of sin. Only that way. There's another good example of that also in Luke 24. You read on down through there, starting in verse 33. It talks about the two men who Jesus had just enlightened in the scriptures. What did they do? They turn around and go back to Jerusalem. And they go back to Jerusalem and they find the 11 again. It's what it says. And they tell them what had happened to them. And while they were still talking to the disciples, it says Jesus appears in the midst of them again. And these people were afraid. They thought they saw a ghost. And they said then he ate fish and he ate some honeycomb with them. And he explained to them about the scriptures again. You notice? He told them everything that had happened. He said, listen, when I was with you, did I not expound to you about the scriptures about me? He told his disciples. He said, did I not do that? And he said in Luke 24:45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And again, I say unto you, and I'll say it again, the greatest thing that you and I could ever do is to explain God's word to someone. To explain it to them. Let them understand it. Let them know for sure who they are. Let them know that you understand God's word. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Get that. Partial understanding can be unavoidable. Listen to me. I'm not standing up here trying to tell you that you'll know everything. But you know what's not understandable? It's not trying to dig into it and trying to find out. That's the thing. We all can do that. And we all can read. We all can get on our knees and pray. We all can get, the Holy Spirit can show us exactly what He wants us to understand. Ask God for wisdom. The Bible tells us we are to ask, in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That right there is a promise from God's word. You know, what's he saying? If you want the understanding of the word, ask God who gives it generously to everybody. He doesn't want you. He didn't want anybody in here not to understand his word. You say, well, I'm young. Listen, no, that's no excuse. That's no excuse. You can dig into God's word to understand it. We was up there Friday night, like I said. Every one of them young kids up here running around up here had a Bible. Not just their phones. They had Bibles, and they were running around up there, and they were taking notes, and they were digging into the Word. That gives me hope for a generation to come. That gives me hope. Because brothers and sisters, listen to me. We need to have our nose stuck in the Bible. If we don't read anything else this week, it needs to be the Bible. Not just come here and take my word for it. You need to read it for yourself. If you go to Him with a sincere heart, He will give you understanding. He will. You want direction in your life? God's Word gives it. Psalms 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What He tells us? You want to be blessed? The Word does that. But in Luke 11, 28, but He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and do what? Keep it. That's what it says. You want blessed? That's how to be blessed. Your faith feels weak? The Word can take care of that. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by hearing the preacher, by hearing the Word of God. But way too often, we want to act like the foolish builder over Matthew 24, who hears the Word of God, but doesn't take heed to it. And it says, and the Bible says, when the storms of life hit, this is what happens. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You've heard the saying, you can take someone at their word? Now, I wouldn't hold that to everybody. Amen? We probably know some people, I wouldn't take them at their word. But I can tell you right now, I take the Word of God at its word. I take what God says at His word. I take what Jesus said at His word. Absolutely. I'm 100% sure of that. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Everything. Everything. God's word is alive and it is powerful. Hebrews tells us that. It's alive and it's powerful. It's not some dead piece of work. It's alive. And I am praise his name this morning. That you know what? Whenever I look at his word and I see his word and I see things in the word and it says amen, I can say amen. That word is truth. That word is truth. Julie, get an overhead, please. We're going to quit here. I'm going to have a few more things here I want to talk about. God's word was given to us by God himself. 2 Peter 1:21 says that. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says that. You believe this fact before it can happen? Listen, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said this, to Christians. For this cause also, we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also to you that believe. Paul's telling the church at Thessalonica this. He said, you believe the word, not because it come from men, because it was the word of God. That's what I'm asking you here this morning. Believe it, not because it's coming out of a man's mouth, but because it is the word of God. Believe that this morning. God's word will not return to him void. Isaiah 55 says this. God's word is power of salvation to all who believe. Romans 1:16. And God's word is powerful in overcoming temptation. I already said that in Matthew 4. God's word is how we reach lost souls. You know that this morning, don't you? Romans 10:14 tells us that. The key to finding power in God's word is to apply it to our lives. That's it. That is the key. Apply God's word to your life this morning. Take it out of here. If you get nothing out of that else out of this morning, God's word is powerful, but you've got to apply it to your life. Young and old alike, you've got to apply it to your life. Listen, it's great that they're reading the word. I love it that they're reading the word for 12 hours. For 12 hours a day, I'm praise the Lord for that. But brothers and sisters, not only will I like for them to read it, I want them to understand what they're reading. I want them to know that there is power in those words, not just words. Amen? All right, Julie, what do we have this morning? If you have a need this morning, please come.